grateful for your love and your mercy. Thank you for reaching down, coming down, and saving us, holding on to us. Father, we ask truly, help us to humble ourselves from every part of these bodies that you have so graciously allowed us to borrow for your glory. Would you forgive this nation here, America, that has done so wrong for so long to Israel and to our Jewish brothers and sisters? Father, I repent, repent. Truly, may your grace fall on each and every one proclaims the name of Yeshua. We thank you. May all glory and honor only point and see you. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Small town, there was two brothers. I'm picking a message, Rabbi Aaron, that I didn't think that you would probably share, so I think I'm going to be okay, but I believe you told me the other day, it's okay to joke, but if it's not funny, then I have to repent. So you can let me know afterwards if I need to repent. Anyway, over the course of years, who cheated, swindled, robbed, and generally stole from everyone and every business, the entire town, surrounding community revealed and despised these two brothers. As everyone was aware of just how disruptible and dishonest they were, one day one of the brothers mysteriously died. Although they had never attended church, the one remaining brother went to the local pastor and offered a vast sum of money if he would come to the funeral and say appropriate words, and a large bonus, but only if he would, during the course of the eulogy, refer to the brother as a saint. Pushing it a little bit there, isn't it? The pastor was troubled by the request. However, it was a very challenging church. Church desperately needed repairs. Parishioners had heard about the pastor's dilemma. They were curious as to what he would do. The funeral began, the church was packed, and the pastor started with his usual prayers and following the traditions as required by the church teachings, and closing after referring to the man in the box, he paused and turned to face the remaining brother. He began, as you all know, the departed was an awful individual who robbed and swindled and stole from everyone. He even the most terrible things to our local town and businesses. However, compared to his brother here, he was a saint. Well, we are all sinners, are we not? We all have fallen short of the glory of God. No one can say they are righteous. Amen? None of us. This morning I will just read from one verse, Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you and on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. Amen. Man gets on a train, it's crowded, and there are very few seats. A few rows back, approach to claim his. As he neared, he saw that there was a suitcase on the seat and a man sitting next to the suitcase. He says, "Excuse me, can you please move your baggage so that I may sit?" There was no response. More people are getting on the train. The aisles are getting crowded. All the seats are filling up. Again, he asks, "Can you please move your baggage?" And again, he was ignored. Normally, a patient man, he gets very more up, kind of agitated for being ignored. He begins to shout, "Baggage, baggage, can you move your baggage now?" Still, no answer. It's kind of like some of our young children in the house, or I should say maybe us husbands, maybe. Forgive me. So the man, in a fit of rage, grabs the baggage, throws it out the window of the moving train. Satisfied, somewhat exhausted, he sits, now a vacant seat, turns to the person sitting in the other seat there and challenges him, "Now, what are you going to do?" The man sitting there said nothing, he replied. "It was not my baggage." Everyone has their own baggage. Amen. Many of us know it. Some of us have light baggage and we carry it well, effortlessly, manipulate life so that our baggage doesn't slow us down. Some of us deny that we even carry baggage. We, like the man on the train, don't own up to the baggage that follows us wherever we go. Still others are weighed down by the baggage they carry. The burden is so great, they are immobilized. Their burdens so heavy, they continue to grow and compound. Jesus, Yeshua says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest." You know, atonement is spoken about in our living word almost 1,300 times. This must tell us the importance, truly, what God is doing, what he has done, and what he asks us to do. The precious blood of Yeshua is all that will save anyone. This is very plainly spoken many times in Scripture. Birth, wealth, position, education, associations with people or institutions mean nothing in matters relating to atonement. Hebrews 9:22 states that without the shedding of the blood, a person cannot be saved. This morning, as we celebrate, we are honored to remember the importance of this so important day of Yom Kippur. Let us truly open our hearts. Let us truly humble ourselves together. I'm a really firm believer. I mean this sincerely. I used to always say, and I still say it, we swim together and we drown together. Blessed be the Lord. Let us truly choose to swim together boldly, pressing forward for his glory. If there's any area, any slight doubt in anyone, have I been forgiven? Has the blood saved me? I hope today you will empty that completely and know that you are forgiven because you are loved. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for the blessings that are uncountable. We would ask again to forgive us of our sins. Forgive this nation, this country that has so become prideful and arrogant, and that we have not truly loved. We have not truly loved our dear brothers and sisters, our Jewish brothers and sisters. Help us, Lord, to have a more loving heart. Let this nation, Lord, be a nation of an example of humility, an example that will do any and all things for your glory, that it come to the protection of Israel. Bless each and every one. Let it be done, I humbly ask, if it be thy will, for your glory, in the name of Yeshua. Amen.